Trust the brotherhood. Playing for the guy next to you. Playing for the team.
What's up, Buckeye Nation? You're tuned in to the Buckeye Cast.
Buckeye Cast.
Tradition of Ohio State. Take that serious.
These fellas were born and bred in the Buckeye State.
Buckeye Cast.
The people of Ohio, we work every day to make them proud.
Visit us at thebuckeyecast.com and follow us on Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, and YouTube at the Buckeye Cast.
Buckeye Cast.
Now here's your host, Joe Warwick.
I'm proud to be part of this group. Go Bucks!
What's up, Buckeye Nation? We are back. Coming in here, I know this time of year things are a little slow going, moving like molasses in February, January, whatever. Anyway, I got Sean joining me. He's our boots on the ground guy, our intrepid reporter, giving us all the Sparty dirt from the state up north.
It's ugly.
Yeah, I can imagine. So we've just starting a lively discussion here. But first of all, I want you always, as always, subscribe, follow. If you are currently subscribed to the show, unsubscribe and then resubscribe and delete the show, then re-download it. It really helps us out, I think. So we're getting into, where do we go, Sean? Were we talking dismissals or were we talking Sparty? I would like to have a short bourbon discussion at some point.
I mean, it sounds like you're a couple ice cubes up into that right now.
Yeah, I am a couple deep. Have you tried any bourbon lately? And what's new on your bourbon front?
No, actually, February is my dry month, so I've not tried anything new lately.
What is the last bourbon you had then?
The last bourbon I had is Eagle Rare, and I've got a bottle that's, you know, I think I got that bottle on January 30th. So there's more than half that bottle left.
Wow.
And it just sits there calling my name, yeah. Calling my name. But here we are. We're already halfway through.
Nice. How do you like that one?
This is a leap year. I like it a lot. It's nice.
Yeah. That's one of my all-time favorites. I bought a couple online because I can't ever find it here in St. Pete. But, yeah, I think we need to incorporate a segment every show, you know, just called like Bourbon Talk. I think people who enjoy bourbon listen to this show. I don't want to get into it, but I just like talking bourbon and like learning about what people like. I know what I like, but I'm always going to be like my daily bourbon is like Buffalo Trace, you know, and I really don't deviate from anything that's not made in Kentucky. I just haven't found anything good that's made elsewhere. And now you got fucking bourbon being made in goddamn Brooklyn and shit, you know. And,
New York City.
Right. Yeah, exactly. So I'm not going to try that. I think you may have ventured up the New York bourbon trail once or twice, haven't you?
With that Hudson? I have. It was a baby bourbon, whatever. But yeah, it not good, not recommended. Mm-hmm. You know, they charge it like it's New York taxes. You know, it wasn't cheap, and it wasn't good.
The Hudson.
So, yep.
Yeah. Yeah. That shit's way overpriced. Oh, you know what? I got our wedding anniversary was last week. The old lady got me a nice bottle of Johnny Walker Blue. Talk about smooth, dude. For scotch.
I love the blue.
Oh, man. I don't have a lot of scotch. The only scotch I really carry in my bar is black, Johnny Walker Black. I also have a bottle of Double Black. Shit is so smoky, but this blue blew me away. It was awesome.
The blue is about the best scotch I've ever tasted. Maybe there's something better out there.
I think so. But it's blended. It's not, you know, a single malt, which most of those McCallahans and those high-end, you know, 18 and 20-year scotches are a single.
I think I've sipped a couple of them that are pretty nice as well.
Yeah. Yeah. But this is blended.
I love the blue.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, shit, at a bar, man, they're charging like fucking $45-$50 a shot.
Yeah.
That stuff. That is not playing around. It's the Jerry Jones drink of choice, I believe.
Only for serious occasions, the Johnny Walker Blue. When I go to Japan, I always look to see if we got a good exchange rate and then get that tariff duty-free stuff.
There you go.
But what, you can... A bottle of that's going to run you $220 in the U.S. probably.
Yeah.
You know, I could probably get it over there once in a while, about $180.
Nice. Throw it in the fucking check bag.
Have TSA steal that shit?
Yeah. Yeah. I ordered two bottles of Eagle back around like Thanksgiving time on this website called caskers.com. Fucking shit never showed up, man. They had to place my order again. And that was after like 6 weeks. I went back and forth with this fucking shipping company, and they're like, yeah, we see your package. I'm like, do you? Really? Bring it over. Never saw it. They had to reorder it. Yeah, so I don't trust anybody who knows what's in that box. They put a big sticker on the box when it's shipped. It says alcohol inside. You have to card whoever receives the package. Yeah, you put a big sticker on it that says alcohol inside. Guess what? It's not making it home.
Yeah, no shit, right?
Yeah. So, anyway, we'll jump into the show now. I do need to send a shout out to one of our more recent listeners, Fake Greg Madison on Twitter. He's got a nice little following and puts out some hilarious shit. You know me, I like to pile on Madison. I'm not a huge fan. Still can't get past him in red. But they tweeted at the show and said, thanks for all the kind words, bitches. After last show, because I think I was saying something about Madison looks like he wants a warm glass of milk and a nap or something.
And, now you do bang on Madison. I like Madison.
I know, man. That's
this type of D coordinator I want.
Yeah, I don't know. I think if he left tomorrow, we wouldn't really notice. So anyway. Thank you, Fake Madison on Twitter. We appreciate you listening.
We love you, real Madison, too. Fuck Joe.
Honestly, I think the fake Madison is actually funnier. But, Sean, have you been watching any of the XFL?
I have not been watching much of that. You know, I don't deviate too much from the college football scene. I have been seeing, our boy Cardale is having some success in that league, as well as a few other Buckeyes. But no, I can't say that I have been watching it.
Okay. I like some of the gameplay kind of format things that they're doing. They do a running clock, except for the last 2 minutes of each half. I think that's something the college and the NFL game could adopt, you know, because games are over in like two and a half hours. I'm all on board with that. We don't need to go 4 hours for a fucking football game.
Right.
But, yeah, just a few Buckeyes. And I think the only three I'm aware of are on that DC team. Cardale's by far the best quarterback. That's the challenge with these new upstart leagues is basically, you know, think about the NFL. They have 32 teams, and most of them carry like three quarterbacks. So that's 96 quarterbacks that are already out of the equation for the XFL. So you're starting at right around 100, the 100th best quarterback. So not going to be great quarterback play. And, of course, the O-line play takes a while. So it's all right. We'll see what happens.
Well, I mean, that'll be a farm league. Anybody that's having some success there, you know, we'll get... Yeah. Fucking called up. Play for somebody.
Right.
But I hear good things about it, though. I hear people are interested in it. Mm-hmm. I don't know. Is this one going to last? Everything else fizzles out.
The upside is it's on all the major networks. ESPN, Fox, ABC are all carrying it. I'm not sure about NBC. But so it's easy to find. You know, before I think it was on like something that was difficult to find.
TNT or yeah, something.
Yeah, something that was cable based. But so yeah, I think it'll be all right. We'll see how I'm curious to see how the viewership was on week two this past weekend. Week one was, of course, you know, good, but week two is where, you know, you really get an idea of what the future is. So we'll see. I like watching Cardale, you know. Other than that, it's mediocre football, I think. But yeah, I guess we should quickly run through the arrest charge and dismissal of Jocelyn Wint and Amir Reap. Just happened over the past week. That was a little tough to stomach. It's been a long time since somebody's been arrested on the team, and this is a hefty arrest. You know, these guys are charged with fucking felony rape and kidnapping. They made bond on Thursday. We've seen other players in the past get charged with or accused of stuff, but not arrested and charged. You know, Damon Webb is one that comes to mind. Torrance Gibson, Brian Sneed. You know, I think these charges are so serious. They had no alternative but to kick them off the team, don't you, Sean?
Absolutely. You know, whether they're found guilty of doing a bunch of this stuff or not, which to me probably looks like they will be, just from what I've seen, I'm not judging anybody before the trial or whatever, but just that they put themselves in that spot, yeah, that's enough for dismissal. There's no room for that in this, and it really sucks, you know. Reap was going to get... you know, a shot this year, I think.
And he was on my 2D.
He just flushed it.
Yeah. Yeah, and these were fourth-year guys that coming into this season. So I had Reap on the 2D for, once we get into it, that's the main focus of our show, really, is the defensive 2D for this coming season. But, yeah, I had Reap in there. Went, not so much. You know, I mean, like I said, I don't think Day really had an alternative. Even to be charged with something this serious, just, you know, if the school doesn't kick you out, I think at least the program has to get rid of you. They don't need a stain like that, you know.
No, they don't at all. And you got to, you know, jokingly text a Spartan friend up here, watch how a serious program handles this stuff. And sure as shit, they came out, these guys are off the team, and that's that.
Yeah, I mean, I could make the argument that if it were a starter, you know, that saw significant playing time, maybe the path would be a little different, but that doesn't make it right.
If it was Fields.
Right, yeah. Or, you know, Master Teague, you know, a position of need, you know.
I don't know. I think that secondary is a position of need.
In the safety area.
Maybe just two guys with experience.
Sure.
I think there's more talent younger than them, but nobody's got the experience those two have to fill in a back end that's losing three dudes. It's significant, but I'm proud of the way Day and Ohio State handled it. That's all I got to say about it, really. And you know what? Hopefully those guys get their shit figured out.
Well, yeah, they're fucked. And I think they, whatever decisions they made that night basically sealed their lives and the victim's life. You know, they're never going to play football again. And I think it's really fucked up, honestly. I can't believe that like I have the players at Ohio State in a really high regard as people. I think we've been recruiting really high quality people, and it's just kind of surprising to me that two guys, not one, two guys are guilty of this. You know, and 4 year guys, not freshmen, not a Brian Snead, you know, who did something stupid his freshman year and wasn't on campus for a full year. You know, these guys are in the program for 4 years and do something this stupid. Two of them. It just blows my mind. I can't comprehend it. But stun is done. Buckeyes move on. Unfortunately, those guys are probably looking at some serious jail time, and I hope that eventually they can clean up their lives.
So, Godspeed.
Yeah. So, yeah, let's, like you and I were talking about the Sparty transfer of power here. So, first of all, let's send D'Antonio out. From what I'm hearing, D'Antonio knew he was going to retire for weeks prior to the announcement just last week. You know, he got that $4.3 million bonus for still being the coach on January 15th, cashed that check. That was nice. Did not bounce. And then the same day, a few hours later, after this this Blackwell guy, his lawyers say that D'Antonio set up jobs for two, like parents of two Sparty football players, and also had him along on an in-home visit on a five-star recruit, which was a violation. So this guy, I hear that this Blackwell guy's a piece of crap. Have you heard anything up there regarding this guy?
I haven't really heard that he's a piece of crap so much. It's hard to tell up here. You got, you know, every Sparty, you know, mostly defending their side, every Michigan person saying no Blackwell stance. So it's tough to say. I don't buy that D'Antonio knew weeks ago. If you knew weeks ago, then why not do it weeks ago? You got the money.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, what are you trying to fuck the team? Because that's what you did.
Well,
waiting that long. You totally fucked the team. Everyone has their teams, their recruiting, their jobs in line by that time. The whole coaching shuffle is done by then. So a guy like Luke Fickell, I guarantee if Luke Fickell would have been going into his bowl game knowing that he's going to be the Michigan State coach next year, he would be the Michigan State coach. But you put him, you know, I think it had to be too good of a deal for Fickell to just up and leave what he committed to Cincinnati and what he's got going there. Not that he's going to stay there forever, but I feel that Luke Fickell probably didn't take the MSU job because he committed to those kids and stood by his word. I think he's a class act. You know, maybe if they would have said, okay, we'll throw $10 million at you, maybe he would, maybe he'd change his mind. But that and the possibility of sanctions, anyway, just what D'Antonio did, the timing of it stinks to me. Like you said, he does it right after this Blackwell stuff comes out. And whatever, probably it's going to be a bunch of he said, she said on some of it. But it's still going to be a bad look for Sparty, regardless.
Right. Yeah, I think I read some negative things about just the culture alone at Michigan State, so I think that might be part of it as well. I'm not sure.
Well, I don't know. I got so many buddies that are Sparty fans. Then you begin to wonder, you know, look at all their stud guys the past few years. They all get busted for roids. You know, they've got all this other shit going on. It's like, what the fuck is going on at MSU, man?
And he leaves the cupboard virtually bare with this 2020 class. He has 0 four-star commitments out of 22. 22 commitments, Sean. No four stars. I realize that's not the focus of the Sparty program. They always try and get the guys, you know, that were under-recruited and all this and that. But no four stars? I mean, look at these classes. The last four recruiting classes by D'Antonio. This year, 43rd, which is actually two slots lower than Cincinnati's recruiting class. Should point that out. 2019, 33rd. 2018, 31st. 2017, he was like in the mid-20s. Anyway, I think having no four stars out of 22 commits this year should get you fired alone. I think he's lucky he wasn't fired.
It was all crumbling down on him. His offense was anemic. His team was awful. I mean, they went 3-9 a couple years ago, and me and you were talking about it the other day, looking at their schedule.
Yeah,
They're going to hope to go 3-9 next year.
Yeah, that's going to be a good year, regardless of the coach. The coach is not suiting up.
Speaking of the coach, so they bring in some nobody. Ohio kid anyway, though, so I do wish him well on that. But a guy with 1 year head coaching experience at where, Colorado? And what was he, 7-5?
5-7, actually. He's making $1 million per win.
and what'd they just give him, $4.5 million?
Yeah, almost five. Yeah. But he's a longtime assistant.
Someone told me though they also gave him like $2 more million to spend on assistants. And I've heard lately there's two assistants that they were throwing over $1 million at that were like, nah. Namaste.
Yeah, they were trying to get the big time recruiter out of Kentucky. What's his name? Yeah. Vince Marrow. He's a big time Ohio guy. He's the one that's been stealing a lot of these recruits that Michigan State goes after out of Ohio. And they really wanted him, obviously, to help that pipeline, you know, Ohio to East Lansing. And the guy,
they need it.
Yeah. And the guy said, no, I'm going to stay. So, yeah, Mel's Diner opens up in East Lansing. He's from Cleveland. He's a former Trestle assistant, Saban assistant, assistant in the NFL. He actually, under Trestle, set up the Cleveland-Glenville pipeline.
Oh, really?
Yeah, yeah. He was on the team that won the championship in 2002. He's got a ton of NFL experience. And Sparty basically doubled his contract from what he had at Colorado. And like I mentioned, he went 5-7 last year at Colorado. He's always been a big Ohio State guy. So, yeah, they tried to get Marcus Freeman away from Cincinnati, and he didn't want it. They're offering – they basically are – dealing with they have $6 million to put towards their assistant coaches. That's a big upgrade from what D'Antonio was dealing with. So I think it's very interesting though that that Mel Tucker turned down the job initially, even before they got to Fickell, and then they came back to him with a much bigger check, and Mel Tucker's like, yeah, I'll take it,
right.
The number just wasn't enough the first time. So, yeah.
Well, I you know what? Sorry, Sparty. I don't see Sparty being good for a long time. I mean, they're about to go through some bad years, I think.
It's going to take a while. Like I said, I think that D'Antonio left the cupboards really bare. Obviously, with this 2020 recruiting class, which... You know, when you quit the day before signing day, gives the incoming coach zero time to sign anybody. I think their talent level is going to be down for a couple of years.
Easily. You know, the only lure will be if he can turn it around in a couple of years is that, hey, come up here, you can play quickly.
Mm-hmm. I guess. There's
nobody in front of you.
Yeah, I guess that's an attraction. There might not be anybody in the stands, but you'll be playing. So check out these highest paid coaches in the Big Ten. Number one, Harbaugh at 7.5. Jeff Brom at Purdue at 6.6. How does Purdue afford that? Is my question. Jesus, that whole school wouldn't go for 6.6 at a garage sale. James Franklin, 5.7. Is he earning that? Mel Tucker comes in at 5.5. Pat Fitzgerald seemingly has a job for life at cashing that 5.1 mil check every month.
Fuck, pay him. Pay Fitzy.
Yeah, they are. I think he could basically do anything he wants, and they're not going to fire him. And then same with Nebraska, Scott Frost. That's what happens when you hire a former player, you know, for your school. It makes it really, really hard to fire him.
You think Northwestern would fire Fitzgerald? Do you think they could do any better? I don't think Northwestern could really do any better.
Probably not, but I don't know. I'm not sure he's that great a coach, personally. But Frost is at $5 million. And we hear that Harbaugh is getting an extension, if he hasn't gotten it yet, right? Which is news, you know, music to my ears.
I know.
And Columbus rejoices.
I can't believe he wants to stay. The heat's getting thick up here, man.
Yeah.
People are, I don't know.
Do you hear a lot of negativity, though?
I think, giving up on the fact. They're not giving up on Harbaugh so much as they're giving up on Michigan football. Like, okay, we're not Ohio State. But we beat Michigan State.
Yeah. Well, yeah. That's a bright spot, I guess. But it's about time that they're digesting that and accepting it.
I almost feel like there is. It's almost becoming that, and I don't mind it.
Yeah, I think it's a dose of reality, and I'm not sure there's ever a way back. I don't see a way back for them. You know,
they would have to go on some type of tear. Mm-hmm. It's just unheard of against Ohio State, and to me, it doesn't sit up that way. Year in, year out, it's like, you know, Michigan might be competitive in that game, but they need to find a way to win.
And at what point is that enough? Okay, let's say you go 500 over the next 6 years. Okay, you split and go 3-3 with Ohio State.
Right.
What else do you? What's next for you? You know.
Well, the first win will be.
Oh yeah,
you know, they'll already have excuses for next year's beatdown.
Right. Yeah, they got those locked and loaded.
But then say the year after that, when Field goes pro.
Right.
Say they beat us that year.
Yeah.
That's gonna buy at least two more years.
Right.
And as long as he's competitive in those games, and then he could, I think he almost has to go 500 the next 6 years, right?
To save his job?
They got to have some pride, right?
I don't think they do at this point, man. It's been so long since they've won. And even still, you know, them winning.
I don't know. I'm used to fucking a pissed off Harbaugh.
Yeah.
And I think it's perfect. Exactly right. How it is. He gets so pissed. I love it.
I'll answer your questions, but not your insults. So
bitterly disappointed.
Yeah, get used to it. So one thing I wanted to point out in these the highest paid coaches in the Big Ten is there's a name that's distinctly missing, and that is Ryan Day. I would expect an announcement over the next month or two from the Ohio State PR, and I think Ryan Day is going to leapfrog a bunch of these cocksuckers and get a nice little pay bump, especially after the season we had.
I'm not saying you have to be idiots like Ann Arbor is, but yeah, I think Ryan Day needs to be, you know, made comfortable with, you know, a 6 year, $6-7 million a year deal.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, that's the going rate. obviously. I mean, look at these mediocre guys. I mean, you got to make more than James Franklin, for Christ's sake, right? At 5.7. Harbaugh just has a really good agent to get in that 7.5 range. It's definitely not from winning. So, yeah.
Hey, he's milking that thing. I don't blame him. Go get cheers, Harbaugh. I hope you're there for
right. It's great work if you can find it. 9 wins is the expectation. Don't have to win your conference even. And you can make SEC money. That's actually even better than some NFL coaches, honestly.
That's better than most SEC coaches, too.
Oh, yeah, it's definitely above the mid-level. But, yeah, I expect Coach Day to get a little bump. I remember when Gene Smith, remember years ago, he said Ohio State would never have an assistant coach making $1 million a year. Now they're all, like, right there. Some are over, some are just under. It's hilarious. But so, yeah, scholarship limit, as we get into the depth chart here on the defense, if you didn't catch the offensive depth chart from a couple weeks ago, go back and check that one out. We're also going to do our oh shit scale of 1 to 5. I think we made 5 the threat level midnight, right? That was basically the highest DEFCON 5 at each position group. Scholarship limit, though, is nice because we were at 89. Then, poof, David Copperfield, Reap and Win are gone, and we're down to 87. That worked out well for some.
Oh, I thought we were at 87 and lost those two.
So,
I don't know. It always seems to work out. When do you have to decide by?
Not till like fall or summer. I don't remember.
So you got to go through spring,
right? There's always there's always some fall off after spring because guys like kind of see the pecking order, you know. After a spring game, you're like, yeah, way too far down the depth chart. I'm out of here. But so yeah, let's start off on the DNs. And after each position group, remind me to do the oh shit scale, okay?
Sure.
All right. Here we go. Defensive ends. I'm going to give you my starters, and I'm going to ask your starters, and then we'll do our second string. So my starters are Sack Harrison and Jonathan Cooper. Who do you have?
I got Cooper and Tyreek Smith. But I think that's going to be a well-rotated group. I don't think it matters. I really don't. I think with Cooper, Tyreek Smith, Zach Harrison, I think Tyler Friday and your French boy are going to get in there and get some stuff too. I think it's going to be a bevy of guys, and it's going to be problems for people. Coop's never been able to stay healthy a whole year, I don't feel. Tyreek Smith and Zach Harrison might have the best stats by the end of the season. But Tyler Friday's got a motor too, man. I don't know. I'm excited about this group. I think the legacy continues with stud DN group, DN play.
I think Cooper, this is a contract year. You know, he's playing for a draft position.
For the money.
Yeah. So I think you're going to see the most of him and probably the best of him. But my second string, I got Tyreek and Tyler Friday backing those guys up. So, yeah, I agree. It's kind of just a rotational thing. But I think... those guys, and of course, we're going to see guys like JJP and or JJB, whatever. And we'll see some of who else? Who else is at DN? Noah Potter. And I'm hearing that Cade Stover might be transferring to tight end for a short
linebacker.
Right, but he went from basically linebacker to D end late in the year, and now we're hearing tight end. So, not sure. I think he eventually ends up at DN, depending on depth. But I think he's a good DN prospect. He's just super athletic, obviously, to put him at tight end. So, we'll see how that plays out. So, what's your oh shit scale on the DNs? 1 to 5.
It's a 1. It's 1.5.
Depth I would is say. There.
You know, it doesn't have Chase Young on it, but it's got some really strong players, and there's some depth there. So we got guys that can play. We got guys behind them that can play. I'm not worried about this group at all as we stand.
Yeah, I agree. Yeah, it is not going to be as dynamic as it's been over the last 3, 4 years, 5 years, whatever, Bosa's into Chase Young. But it's going to be solid, and I think we're going to see Zach Harrison go take it to another level. I'm really curious to see how that takes off. But let's look at D tackles here. I got up front, my starters are Togiai and Haskell Garrett. Haskell Garrett's a senior. Hasn't really done much to this point. He plays sparingly. But Togiai, as they always say, is the strongest guy in the freaking team. And I think this is his time to take over that starting spot and really show his worth. Who do you have starting?
Well, I'm with you on Togiai, 100%. I think this dude's a bowling ball. I don't know. He always gets excited. He was like the strongest guy on the team when he was a freshman. And, yeah, I think he's probably an unstoppable force. I don't know who the other guy will be. You know, with the Larry Johnson coach line, I think it's going to be a lot of rotation. But I'm thinking that Togiai is the anchor of that group. I could see any of like 3 or 4 different guys at that other spot. We're starting with him.
Yeah, backing them up, I got Teron Vincent behind Togiai, and then Antoine Jackson. He's another guy looking at his fifth and final year in college
football. I can't believe he's still got some eligibility.
Yeah, I know. Yeah, he came in here with 2 years.
I'm hopeful that he turns it on. He's got it, you know, this is your last chance, bro.
Exactly.
Well, I guess he can play in the XFL.
Maybe, but maybe not. Could be defunct.
I had high hopes for that guy.
Yeah. He was a 5-star. Yep. Another one of those 5-star guys.
Yep.
Just didn't pan out. You know, that transfer from Auburn to Ohio State, I mean, I'm not sure he was playing at an elite level at Auburn. So,
how many years was he there?
2.
And then went to Blinn?
Yeah.
And then Ohio State. I swear this is his 3rd year on the team. I mean, how many years did he get?
He might have had an injury year there.
And a red shirt with, yeah. I guess. I'll take it. I hope he goes off. Yeah, because he'd be a good... Isn't he a little bit taller? So you could have...
He's 6'2".
Basically the nose.
Yeah, he's 6'2", 300.
I feel like Togiai is opening up that path for the West Coast Polynesian boys to come to Ohio State, too. Let them know it's all right in Columbus.
Yeah, right. Yeah, we got some Polynesians there. You guys feel right at home.
Yes.
Yeah. But from the defensive tackle point of view, what's your oh shit scale looking like? Because we don't have BB anymore. We don't have fucking Dave on, and I think those guys didn't quite get the credit they deserved.
I could agree with that statement, but I was always a big BB fan, and Avon, for that matter. But I think it's going to be next man up. Couple guys, another year in the system. I mean, you know, BB and Avon last year, they weren't the guys either. Avon was pretty sweet last year, but they were coming into their own. So I'm expecting people like Togi I and hopefully Antoine and some of those other guys, Haskell Garrett and Teron Vincent, that you mentioned. I'm hoping they all tear it up. And I think that's why you have the spring and the fall camp. You figure out, all right, who's going to be the fucking guy?
Yeah. Look at these snap counts.
You look at the snap counts.
So on the season, Togi I had 250 snaps, which is the same as BB. Haskell Garrett had 218. Antoine Jackson had 200. Don't forget Jerron Cage. He had 88, and that was about it for the D tackles.
Well, that's a shitload returning.
Yeah,
that's a ton of snaps. I feel real good about it. I feel better about it now. I'll give that a 1.5. Also, I'm not worried about that D line.
All right. Moving to linebackers. Here's what I have. Weak side to strong side. We're growing three linebackers set. Baron Browning on the weak side. I think you put the fastest guy over there, especially losing Malik Harrison, you know, the athlete that he was. Middle. This hurts me to say. Tough Borland. This guy is never going to catch a break from this podcast, I guarantee you that. And strong side, Pete Werner, still at the starter. Sean, who do you have? Starter.
Yes and no. Of course I got Baron Browning. And Werner, I've always loved Werner. Think he gets totally underrated. Well, I like Werner. In the middle, Tough Borland. Yeah, he's gonna fucking start. He's gonna have an amazing camp, and he's gonna look great. And he knows what the fuck he's doing. And he's gonna be chasing someone down the sideline in a big fucking game. I feel. Like, you know, it should be Kent or Taraja, somebody. But I think you're right.
Yeah, I don't know how they
bench. What do I know?
I don't know how they sit Tough down. All they can do, really, is limit his snaps somewhat. But that's about it. I mean, looking at last year's snaps, Malik Harrison had 700 snaps. That's insane. Pete Werner, almost 600. Tough Borland had 425. Baron Browning, 368. And most of his were probably when they were going to just a two linebacker set and bringing in an extra DB. So from there, you got Dallas Gant, 118. Hilliard's back, so let's not forget about Justin Hilliard. He got his sixth year of eligibility. He had 100 snaps. Taraja only had 100. Kayvon Pope, 77. Gant had 118. So, yeah, backing those guys up on the weak side, I got Kayvon Pope behind Baron Browning. I got Taraja backing up Tough Borland. And I got Gant and Hilliard kind of splitting behind Pete Werner.
Yeah, I mean, I can't argue with any of that. Probably Pope. But Pope's looked good out there, too. I mean, some of these linebackers, I feel, look really good. they're going to let a guy like Tuff Borland keep him off the field, then that's their problem.
Yeah, it's kind of unfortunate because I feel like there's a lot of talent that we haven't seen get enough exposure, you know, in these younger linebackers, which these guys are now fucking, these guys are getting into their third year in the program, and they're only getting 100 snaps, you know. So, yeah.
Right.
I mean, injuries are going to happen, you know that. So we'll see. I really want to see these younger guys, especially Taraja Mitchell. I really want to see more of him. You know? I'm kind of concerned if one of these guys, other than Tuff, like, say, Baron Browning goes down with an injury, or even worse, Pete Werner. If Werner's one of the fastest linebackers on the team. You know, if he goes down,
yeah,
you're looking at Gant and Hilliard probably backing him up. You know, that could be super costly.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know if then you would play more of that hybrid and bring a safe, you know, bring the, you know, if Pete went out, maybe you start running more of that bullet offense. But they didn't really need to because Pete's that fast.
Yeah.
They run that 50 times all of last year.
Yeah, the bullet
not
is
much.
The bullet is like a made up position. I don't even believe that thing exists anymore.
Yeah, we used to call it the fucking dime, but now
it's let's give it a fancy name, make it sound good. So yeah, oh shit scale for linebackers.
The oh shit scale is it's only two, like we just said. It's mostly the same guys, obviously minus Harrison. But I think if Browning gets that spot, I think Browning's a difference maker. He'll probably suffer from young player mistakes. But like, would you say he had 300 something snaps last year?
Yeah.
So he should be all right. I think Tuff will be what Tuff is, and instead of sharing time with Baron Browning. Now I think it will be Tuff sharing time with Gant or Taraja Mitchell, and then you've got what to me is a really solid linebacking core out there.
Yeah, I feel pretty solid about this linebacking core. I would say, yeah, I'm actually lower than a two. I'm more like a one with the linebackers because I think if a starter does go down, it might even be better for us. Except for Pete Werner. If he goes down, I'm very concerned. But
I don't know. Only if Tuff does. I'm not wishing anything on Tuff, but it's sure. Only a two because Tuff's starting, I think.
Right.
We'll see.
Mm-hmm. But as we've seen, Tuff will start a game in the middle and then rotate out.
You're slow.
Yeah. But rotate out. You know, and end up not actually playing.
Yeah, short yardage, second
right.
And two,
right.
Tough's your guy. Third and one.
Yeah. Exactly.
Don't have him in there on a passing down.
Yeah, so corners. I'm going to go three corners because we're going to be playing three corners a lot. So I'm going two outside guys and a slot. I'm going Wade, obviously, Seven Banks, of course, and then Cam Brown on my slot. Sean, who do you have?
I don't think Wade's going to crack the two deep this year. Yeah, of course you got Wade. I can't, but it still makes me smile. I have a smile right now. Still makes me smile that he came back. He is a first round draft pick. He's going to be regardless, I guess. But of course, Sean Wade. I got my boy coming out to make a difference this year, Tyreek Johnson.
Yeah. You got him as a starter?
Yeah, I think Tyreek's going to. I think this is his spring. This is his camp. I think Tyreek Johnson had high hopes for that kid. This is the year. This is third year in the program.
You got him in an outside or a slot?
I got him on the outside.
Okay.
And then probably Cam Brown at the other spot. Amir Reap was in that conversation.
Yeah.
Right here.
Exactly.
Probably in that slot spot.
Yep.
And
well, he had 226 snaps last year. Reap did. But I think you're nuts if you think Tyreek is going to take over a starting job. He had 57 snaps last year. Cam Brown had 250. Seven Banks had 170. I do have Tyreek in a second string behind Wade, and that's going off of him having a really good spring and fall camp. You know.
Well, you just wait and see then. And I guess you'll just wait and see.
Yeah, I will.
Tyreek's about to go off.
Yeah. Another guy in my second string role is Marcus Williamson. I got him kind of penciled in for both the slot and outside, backing up Cam Brown and Seven Banks. We haven't seen much of him. Last year he only had 86 snaps. But that was more than Tyreek Johnson. We'll see. It's about time. He's another third-year guy that needs to show his worth.
I think, you know, Marcus Williamson has a shot. Is he small?
Yeah, he's like 5'11".
Oh, that ain't too small. He's not like 5'8".
No,
5'9".
No.
I feel like I've seen his name the last few years, and I feel like that kid makes plays. I don't know why he can't find more time on the field, but I think it's really going to be wide open past Sean Wade, frankly. I mean, you say all this with this number of snaps. That ain't that many for any of them. I think it's wide open, and they're going to figure out. Combs is going to figure out his best three.
Sure. I agree. I think it's key, though, to have
with
a backup crew behind him.
Well, what's that?
Well, you got to have a solid backup behind each guy, though, too. You know, injuries are going to happen, whether it's in a game or, you know, for multiple games.
For sure.
And we're kind of thin there right now, honestly. You got incoming freshmen like Legend Cavazos and stuff, but I'm not sure you're going to throw him out here as a true freshman after being on campus for 6 months.
I mean, he has played at IMG, so he's played like a year of college ball.
Yeah, right. Sure, but that seems a little dicey. I mean, maybe third string, he gets in some garbage time and all that.
Garbage time at best. He's not getting on the field. No way. Not with these guys in front of him. I think Marcus Williamson, didn't he come out of IMG a few years ago? And he ain't seen the field yet, and he's probably ranked higher than Legend.
Yeah, I'm not sure what their rankings were, but yeah, we'll see. Legend's a bigger kid. He's 6'1", 196. Then you got Ryan Watts, the other freshman out of Texas. He's 6'3", 187. But again, I realize they're on campus right now. But I don't know if they go in meaningful time.
Yeah, no way.
Yeah, but in my opinion, this is Tyreek's time to shine. I mean, if you're a five-star talent, let's see it. You know, get it out there on the fucking field. Safety, moving on. Oh, wait, what's your oh-shit meter on corners?
What's that?
What's your oh-shit meter on corners?
It's not real good. It's kind of 3.5.
Yeah, it's the direction. I think we're
going to have the best corner in the country, Sean Wade.
Right.
But like you said, we're usually playing three. So I need two other guys. I've got a bunch of guys that have been in the system a few years that were highly recruited. Haven't seen a ton of game time, so I'm cautiously optimistic. Like I said, but one of these guys, you know, we always have a stud to fill a stud's role, but if Wade would have left, who'd be our this is going to be our stud corner? Yeah. I don't know who that next guy is going to be.
No. And say he goes down for three, four games. Who steps up? You know, that's why my oh shit meter is at like a 4.5. Because I know I hear people talking big about Cam Brown, and that's what, you know, the coaches are saying behind closed doors, but he only played like 250 snaps, you know, compared to what a starter would play, like 600 to 700.
Right.
That's concerning to me, you know, and especially if he has to go out there and lock up the other team's number one receiver. You know, say it's Purdue, and he's got to cover Rondale Moore or something. No, thank you. I'm really worried. So that's why my old shit meter's at a 4+. So hopefully we stay healthy back there. Now this one, I'm going to tell you before I even talk about it. My old shit meter is hitting the fucking bell at a 5+. at safety. Safety is a big problem in my opinion. I got Proctor starting, okay? Last time he was on the field, he got juked by a fucking quarterback for 65 yards. So, feeling so solid about that. Obviously, you have to have Proctor as your starter, right?
Yeah.
Again, this guy only had 123 snaps all year. You know, Jordan Fuller had 750. You know, a guy never came off the field. You got Marcus Hooker coming in at 82. Isaiah Pryor, gone. Not on the team. You also had Brendan White, gone. We're really thin. Really thin. I actually have penciled in at my backup for Proctor, since we're just going single high safety. I'm going with my guy, the freshman, Lathan Ransom, out of Phoenix.
Nice.
That's the only freshman I have on my starting lineup, or my two deep, I should say.
Yeah, you're two deep. I like that. I think the easy money's on Hooker. You know, didn't Combs coach Hooker? Kind of connection there. The older brother Hooker.
Oh yeah, Malik. Yeah.
Yeah, I think Holmes coached him.
Right. Probably helped recruit Marcus.
So I'm just, I'm wondering if he doesn't have an inside track. Not saying that Holmes wouldn't play the best guys, but I think it'll probably be Hooker. But I'm with you. Josh Proctor, I got big hopes for that kid. But you're right, and he only had 120 snaps. Then what was he doing on the field for that snap?
Don't ask me, man. Yeah.
Pisses me off.
He had 19 snaps that day, and that was one too many. Yeah, like I said, you know, losing Isaiah Pryor and Brendan White are huge problems. You planned on having three guys back there, four or five maybe. You still have Bryson Shaw. He had six snaps last year. I don't know if he was dealing with injury or what, but can't plan on him for anything. So that's why my oh shit meter is at a fucking all time high here at a 5+.
Well, you don't know until you know.
Right. Well, the other thing is Lathan Ransom isn't even on campus till June.
Oh, he didn't come early?
No. So
he's out.
You got the two. You got Legend, who played safety in high school. But they recruited him as a corner, and then Ryan Watts is recruited as a corner. So those guys are on campus right now. I doubt they plan on converting either of them to safety. So that's why I went with the freshman incoming. I haven't seen anything from Hooker that makes me feel good.
I think he's got a hard time staying out of trouble, too. I don't know if he's got his head on straight. He's hear stuff.
Overall, I would say, as a whole, defense looks pretty good to me. A lot of depth, a lot of guys that have played significant snaps, especially in the front seven. The back four is really concerning to me.
Well, that's of course. I mean, the front seven should be BIA. With the back four wannabe, the front seven might be.
Right.
So I'm with you, but Wade's going to take some pressure off that. And if Wade can stay healthy and put in a nice year, everything's going to be fine back there.
But again, we don't have that dynamic defensive end that's going to take over games like we've had for how many years in a row now, you know? 5, 6, 7 years, whatever. Bosa, Chase Young. So.
Well, like I said, there's guys out there. Can Cooper be that guy? Can Zach be that guy?
Yeah.
Tyreek, these guys are, they aren't far off. They just got to take that next step. If Zach Harrison puts in the time, he's going to be all right.
Yeah. We'll see. All right, folks. That should about do it. I think we covered all the pertinent areas. As always, we appreciate you. Yep. Oh, hey, hit the supply store. I just put up a new design today for the spring game. Spring game 2020 in the shoe. It's a nooner. Sean, if you get down there to the game, I'll send you a shirt.
My progeny just asked me if we're going to go to that.
Oh, yeah?
I need to look into that. When is that game?
April 11th.
April 11th. Yep. All right, let me look at that.
Yeah,
maybe I will.
Hit the supply store, folks. Get yourself a spring game shirt. Wear it to the game. And we will see you next time. Probably be a couple weeks. We want to see if we got some good topics to discuss and some good recruiting things coming up. So, Sean, thank you so much for joining us. Hopefully, the green and white folks up there get their shit together and maybe they can look past this coming season.
Don't count on it.
All right. Thank you.
Peace.